Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by.
One of the hardest lessons to teach our kids is not to get too attached to all the stuff. And we live in a world of stuff, and there's nothing wrong with stuff, but very difficult to teach them that, especially since we as parents are still learning that lesson ourselves day after day. And it all has to do with the first commandment. Where do you put your trust? Joining us to talk about the first commandment and our kids on this Wednesday afternoon, Pastor Kurt Ulmer. He's pastor of Shepherd of Peace Lutheran Church in Braidwood, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Important Stuff. Pastor Ulmer, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. Good afternoon to you.
How early does it start? My memory of this is vague because my kids are older now, but how early does it start with our kids, this, just like their parents, this obsession with stuff and more stuff?
Well, I think it begins right off the bat, and I think we help them along the way, both as parents and, you know, the family that surrounds them. In our great love, we want to show them, you know, how much we think about them, and so we lavish them with gifts. And you can see it, I mean, just in those early years, I can, you know, see it in my daughter. They love the stuff. They love to see that stuff. They open the presents, and their eyes light up, and then they're ready to move on and start tearing into the new paper.
You say that this is perhaps one of the most daunting tasks that we have today with regard to raising our children. And, I mean, how would you describe it when it comes to the stuff that they accumulate and that we accumulate for them?
Well, you know, as I mentioned in the article, there's nothing wrong with the stuff itself. And, you know, our Lord created stuff. He became stuff. Jesus took on human flesh, and now he works through stuff. So it's not that there's something wrong. The difficulty is helping kids distinguish between the two and not defining life by that stuff. It is difficult because stuff surrounds us every day. We're constantly surrounded by it, and we need stuff. So helping a kid determine what is truly needed versus what is extra, that, I think, is the real difficulty in defining needs versus wants.
Is there something wrong inherently with the extra? I mean, something beyond what you need?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, as I was preparing for this Sunday sermon, Jesus feeds the 5,000 there in John 6. And it says a couple different times, he gives them all that they need. They are satisfied. And then there is more. There's 12 basketfuls collected by the disciples. So it's not that there's anything inherently wrong with the extras. It is a question of, is our heart on the extras? Are we only happy if we have the extras? Our God is a God who gives far more than we can possibly desire or deserve. So it's not the things themselves, whether they're extra or not, isn't wrong. It's where is our heart?
Pastor Kurt Ulmer is our guest. We're talking about the First Commandment and your kids on this Wednesday afternoon. He's pastor of Shepherd of Peace Lutheran Church in Braidwood, Illinois, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Important Stuff. Well, that brings us to the First Commandment, doesn't it? That commandment that really comes to be highlighted when Jesus speaks words like, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We'll talk about that commandment with Pastor Kurt Ulmer after this.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. Issuesetc.org. Stay connected. Issuesetc.org.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
We're talking about the First Commandment and our children. Pastor Kurt Ulmer is our guest. Speaking of our children, Concordia Publishing House has come out with a, I think it's a real winner, and I don't say that just because it's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. It is. It's called My First Hymnal, but I've actually seen this thing in action in the parish where I serve, and put into the hands of parents and put into the hands of their children so that at home and at church they can have part in the life that everyone else has part in. We have hymnals for adults, and those are certainly also for our kids as well. But if you're like me, you want your children or your grandchildren to have the hymns of the church. Sometimes they need to be pared down to meet the kids where they're at. And the prayers of the church and the psalmody, and it's all right there in My First Hymnal from Concordia Publishing House. It's a real hymnal for kids. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and just go ahead and order My First Hymnal for a child you know, maybe your kid or grandkid. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March. Pastor Ulmer, you bring us to the point of the First Commandment. When you talk about treasures and where our hearts are, the First Commandment kind of lands right on top of us there. What is that commandment, and what does it have to say to us regarding our children and where their treasure is?
Well, the First Commandment is meant to cut right to the quick. Who is it that has your trust? And where do you place all your confidence? Luther in the Large Catechism, as he discusses this commandment even further, helpfully describes what a God is. It's the thing that we expect all good things from. Who is going to take care of us? Who is going to provide for us in our time of need? And again, when we read that commandment, we have to admit, my heart has been elsewhere. I have expected that stuff to take care of me. When I don't have that stuff, I begin to be afraid. And so my confidence, as I find when I look at the First Commandment, is certainly not always been in the Heavenly Father who created me and who provides me with all of my daily bread, as we ask in the Lord's Prayer.
It does also kind of point out the fundamental shift that sin always manages to make in us, and that is moving our eyes and our trust from the one who gives to what he gives.
Right. We're very earthly, physical creatures, and so our hearts are naturally drawn to those things that we can see, we can feel, we can touch. So Satan knows the best way to us is through those things, because we can literally and figuratively grab a hold of them. They're something that we think we can be certain of. So, of course, through physical means, through the pleasures that we can experience through them, sin finds its way in. It's always hard to distinguish. You get a good gift, and you can quickly, and often do, abuse that gift. Sin kind of sneaks in alongside and invites you to trust again in that thing.
And here is where your pastoral advice in this article becomes eminently practical. Because up to this point, I think many of our listeners would wholeheartedly agree, we don't want our kids putting a false hope in something that can do nothing but disappoint them in the long run. That is material possessions and all the other things that we possess, whether they're material or not. But your answer here is something kind of radically biblical. You say when crushed by that first commandment with regard to our false hopes, it's not try harder, do better, think more about God. It's confess it, parents and children alike. Talk about that.
Yeah, this is Lent. It's a wonderful time to consider our sin and the great gift that we have. We know our sin. It's come against us, and in this case, we acknowledge, I have had another God. And we can try as hard as we want, and yet we will continue to land in that same pit. I didn't trust. What we need is not an improvement. What we need is forgiveness. And a beautiful place for us to receive that forgiveness, to actually hear that word spoken from outside, is before Christ's called shepherds who are there to speak his word, to again forgive us, to announce Christ's love for us, and invite us back again to believe and trust that God gives us all good things. So improvement always falls up short. What never falls up short is the forgiveness of Christ.
Our kids watch us, and I guess I'm mindful of this because this particular stage of my life is, well, it's not here. It's a long ways off, really, but it's approaching rapidly. I feel its approach. And that is the at least the age of retirement, perhaps not the reality of retirement. But, you know, as our kids grow and they're not little anymore, and it's not the Weeble Castle and the Lincoln Logs or anything like that, mm-hmm. but it's cars and homes that they are starting to, you know, of necessity accumulate for themselves.
Sure.
They watch us worrying about retirement, worrying about the 401k. What are your pastoral thoughts there for parents of grown kids and the example they still set?
Well, again, we teach them that we are no different, no less a sinner than they are, that though the objects of our coveting and desiring and trust change, it is still at its very core the same root problem. Yes, these are things that we need, but our Heavenly Father knows that we need them. This is why I pointed out Luke chapter 12, where Jesus reminds us again, don't be anxious. Your Lord knows exactly what you need, and he'll give it to you just as assuredly as he gives it to the flowers of the field. And these things don't matter. These things did not drive Jesus to the cross, but you did. And you can be certain that whether it's the Weebles or the car, the retirement plan, all these things will be provided for you. Your Heavenly Father knows, and he frankly knows better than you do. So when we show them by example that confession is where this begins. Confessing to Christ, I have trusted in something other than you for any good that I need. We show them the answer is found in hearing forgiveness.
Is something also shown our children when we not only freely receive these things for Christ's sake from all-providing Heavenly Father, but also freely give them away, freely part with them?
Absolutely. You know, in the First Commandment, we learn that, again, we don't trust in any of those things, and we learn that all those things are given to us for the benefit of others. And there I pointed to the rich man and Lazarus. This gets back to the question of the extras. Are the extras bad? Well, no, of course not. They, too, are from God's hand. We don't have the extras unless God gives them. But why does he give them? He gives them because we are his hands to our neighbors, and we can give them to our neighbors, whether that's, you know, working at the local food pantry or making sure that our church is supported so that not only the stuff, but also the gospel goes forward. We may not be able to make some grand mission trip or something like that, but we can make sure that in the place that we are, the gospel continues to be preached, and those gifts of stuff, baptism, the Lord's Supper, continue to be distributed, and with those, the forgiveness of sins.
Finally, then, what is our comfort in this life that is lived in this constant, never-ending struggle with our stuff? What's the ultimate comfort? About 30 seconds here, Pastor Ulmer.
Sure. The ultimate comfort, of course, is Christ. Things come and go. Job is a wonderful example of that. We cannot count from day to day on what stuff we will have, but the certainty of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that his love for us, his word spoken that says, you are my beloved child, with you I am well pleased, I will give you all things necessary for this body and life and for eternal life. That is the great comfort that underlies it all and that allows us to put into perspective all the wonderful gifts of this life that he has so lavishly given to us.
Pastor Kurt Ulmer is pastor of Shepherd of Peace Lutheran Church in Braidwood, Illinois. He's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled The Important Stuff. Pastor Ulmer, thanks for being our guest.
Todd, thanks so much.
When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon. It's March the 14th. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is going to be our guest. We're going to talk about a couple things with him. Well, it's his birthday, by the way, so we'll have to wish him a happy birthday before our time with him is out. But also, his 50th birthday. Also, it is the sad one-year anniversary this last weekend of the Japan tsunami, wherein so many died and so many still suffer. We'll talk about his thoughts on that sad anniversary. And then, Luther wrote something that Matt says every Christian should pick up and read about prayer. It was a letter, kind of a letter, to his barber, Peter, who asked him about prayer, and he wrote this, A Simple Way to Pray. We'll talk about that as well with Pastor Matt Harrison. In the UK, there are two problems that we want to discuss with Dr. John Warren Montgomery in hour or two of Issues, etc. One, the government does plan on legalizing same-sex marriage by 2015. The Roman Catholics are fighting it. And there's a proposed ban of crucifixes and crosses in the workplace, also in the UK. That's hour two of Issues, etc. in 4 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.